الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن، صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected علماء الكرام, brothers and elders in Islam, we had been discussing this hadith where Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had ascended the minbar and he had said Ameen three times. First Ameen that he had mentioned was, woe to that person who finds the month of Ramadan and he is not forgiven. Upon this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Ameen, when Jibreel alayhi salam made this dua against that person. On the second step, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Ameen again when Jibreel alayhi salam said, woe to that person before whom you are mentioned, but he does not send durood upon you. And on the third footstep, on the third step of the minbar, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said Ameen to this baddua, that woe to that person whose parents find old age, parents become old in his life, or one of them becomes old, فَلَمْ يُدْخِلَاهُ الْجَنَّةِ, and he did not become a means of his entry into paradise. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said Ameen. We mentioned in detail the first two parts of the hadith. In this part of the hadith, the last part of the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said Ameen and made dua for the destruction of that person who finds his parents in old age or one of them in old age and he does not serve them and does not become deserving of entering into paradise. Now if you study this hadith, you will find that in this hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned three very great ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it seems that person that did not appreciate and was ungrateful for these ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then dua had been made for his destruction. First great ni'mat was the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan is an opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given every single individual. And like we had mentioned, it is not restricted to any place, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given virtue to time. And time is such a thing that no man can escape time, whether he's in the cave, whether he's in the sky, whether he's in the plane, whether he's in the submarine, whether he's in the desert, whether he's in the city, wherever he is, he has to pass through time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given virtue and sacredness to the Mubarak month of Ramadan. So this person has to witness this great opportunity, and he has this great opportunity to get forgiven. And we had mentioned at different occasions in the month of Ramadan, time of iftar, while a person is fasting, when he helps, feeds the fasting person, when he lessens the burden of those working under him, all these were opportunities where he could have been forgiven. And when he carried out the fast, when he carried out the taraweeh, etc., these were opportunities that he could be forgiven. But he was so neglectful and unmindful and heedless of this great opportunity that we find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes baddua against him, and Jibreel sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells Ameen. In the second occasion, or the second thing, was where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mubarak name is taken, but he did not send durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We had explained in detail the great favors of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon this ummah. And nobility demands that a person who has a little sense of appreciation will definitely send durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even if there was no reward for it. And we had mentioned the enormous reward, the great amount of reward for durood sharif, that unique ibadah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he mentions in the Quran, he mentions that I myself and the angels carry out, send durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You also join in and send durood, giving you this opportunity and privilege to send durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And looking at the favors of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nobility just demands that a person reads durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this person is so ungrateful that he does not send durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the greatest benefactor of humanity on the face of the earth. Thirdly, we find the parents are mentioned. And when the parents are mentioned, then the greatest benefactor for a person after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are his parents. They are the outward means of him coming into this dunya. And we all know, if we sit and reflect and ponder just for a few moments and think, what was our situation when we came into this world? What are the phases that we have passed? We could not distinguish between good and bad, right and wrong, between filth and the dirt, etc. We could not distinguish, we could not express our needs, etc. It was these parents that cared for us and looked after us. especially those people that are over 40, 50, and you sit and reflect and think, what were the circumstances where they looked after us as well? It was not like today where everything is done at the press of a button. Those were days, sometimes there was no electricity, there was no lights, and there was no all these appliances that we have today to create ease, etc., were not there. We find in those circumstances also, not for a moment did our parents neglect us or do not fulfill our needs. Irrespective of how our behavior was, what we were and who we were, the fact that we were attached to them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had filled their hearts with love and compassion and affection for them, that they had looked after us and served us. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He mentions the rights here, or in this hadith, what is mentioned, not the general fulfillment of the rights that is there at all times, but at that time and that period of their lives when they reach old age. And we all know when a person reaches old age, what happens to him? When your hair turns white, you know what happens to you? You are unable to walk properly, talk properly sometimes, think properly, walk properly, speak properly, eat properly. You cannot even do anything. One Musalli meets me out of the masjid. He says, Mona, those were the days when I used to not only take part in sports, but I used to excel in my sporting activities. I used to excel over the others. Today I cannot even walk properly. This is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you reach that age, now you need assistance, you need service, you need care, you need love, you need affection. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give for that? Even if there was no reward whatsoever, a person who fulfills and looks after his aged parents can never fulfill the rights of his parents, because what his parents did for him in his childhood and when he was an infant and baby, he cannot do for his parents when they had become so old, even if he spends his day and night with them. So this sense of appreciation demands that a person should serve his parents. But here, not only does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leave it to our goodwill, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises great reward. Here in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us an indication that that person that serves his parents, for you serves his parents, a person who does not look after his parents, or a person who finds his parents in old age, فَلَمْ يُدْخِلَاهُ الْجَنَّةِ, the parents could not enter him into paradise, meaning he does not serve his parents and get the du'as of his parents to enter into paradise. He is such an unfortunate person that besides being its primary duty to serve his parents in this age, yet what he does is does not fulfill this duty. And apart from the duty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put such a great reward there, incentive for him, that they will enter him into paradise, yet he is unmindful of this duty. How more unfortunate can a person be than this person who does not take cognizance of the great favors of his parents and does not fulfill the right of his parents in their old age. Here, obviously, sometimes to fulfill the rights of the parents when they are young becomes quite easy, because we have the awe of their parents. We know the power of the parent over me. But when the parent becomes old and the parent does not have that power over you, then to serve the parents, this is real nobility and this is real goodwill and real sincerity, that the person is in need. He cannot help you in any way, and you serve him and fulfill all his duties and look after him. So here, if that person fails to do so, then we find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes dua against those people. Those people that take their aged parents and find them a hindrance in this old age and take them out of the way, so to say, and put them in the old age homes, etc., to take warning of this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or this baddua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the ameen of the baddua of Jibreel alaihi salam, and the ameen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why there are many punishments in the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives respite to those punishments to the hereafter. But there is one punishment in the world: if a person does not fulfill the rights of the parents, disobeys the parents, etc., then that punishment is given to him right here in this dunya before he leaves the world. So that person who feels he is prospering in his business, is prospering in social life, etc., and his father is there in the old age home, nobody to look after him, pining for his son and his children, etc., we should remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will seize him wherever he is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take retribution wherever he is, in whatever position, if he fails to look after his parents. So it's a great warning here also for us to look after our parents under all circumstances. The young, especially the elderly as well, those that are old, they should also look after their parents if they have become elderly, and they have a right to be looked after. They have a right to be looked after. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the hadith, in the Quran, immediately after he mentions his right of worship. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that you worship none besides Him. وَبِالْوَارِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And you fulfill the rights of your parents, you do good towards your parents. So a person should endeavor to fulfill the rights of his parents to look after his parents, to be kind and loving towards his parents. And we remember, when a person becomes old, what happens? He becomes unreasonable. He does not have that patience, etc. He thinks so differently from you. Despite all that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning here specifically in the Quran also, this is mentioned. I wish to discuss some other aspects, that's why I won't go into the details of the Quranic verses. In the Quran also Allah ta'ala mentions when they have reached old age. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also mentioned when they reach old age. And what happens when a person reaches old age? Sometimes he's unreasonable. Sometimes he does not have the sabr and tolerance. Sometimes he reasons in a different manner. Sometimes he fails to look at the matter like how you look at it. But yet, despite that, you should look after them, fulfill their rights, and do not say a word of contempt against them. وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. Do not say him uff, a word of contempt, or you will hurt his heart. And do not also scold him. Reminds me of that incident when a person will come, it's mentioned in one tradition, when a person will come on the day of judgment, and his scale of deeds will be in the balance. The balance of deeds will be equal on both sides, the good deeds and the evil deeds. And they will come out of nowhere, a word, oof, will fall onto the scale on the bedside, and that will tilt him against his favor, and he will be destined to go into the fire of Jahannam. He will be told to go into the fire of Jahannam because of this oof that he had said against his father. Very, very strange incident. Then he says, this person comes back to Allah, and he pleads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, please for clemency. It is told to him that you had disobeyed your parents in the dunya, and now you are coming, you are pleading for clemency and mercy, etc. He said, O Prophet, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I see my father also is destined for the fire of Jahannam. I ask you now here, I request you to double my punishment and to put my father into paradise. Double my punishment and to put my father into paradise. It is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes pleased with this person and tells him that in the dunya you had displeased your father, and now you become a means of salvating him and saving him. Take the hand of your father and enter into paradise. Imagine they also, just to have this feeling of goodwill to his father, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows this extreme mercy upon that person. It becomes a means of him entering into paradise. So here in this third part of the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions here the rights of the aged parents, that the parents fail to enter him into paradise, meaning he fails to serve them, he fails to obey them, he fails to fulfill their rights, he fails to look after them, and it becomes the means of him entering into Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. And you should remember sometimes that it comes in a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِنَّمَا تُرْزَقُونَ وَتُنْسَرُونَ بِدُعَافَائِكُمْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Sometimes we find that the hurdle, the obstruction, is this parent of mine, or this old mother of mine, or this father of mine, and is an obstruction in my progress. Here Rasulullah tells us in the hadith that there are occasions when you are assisted and your rosy has been given because of the weak ones amongst you. You may have a child that's retarded. You have an old parent who is, so to say, in the worldly sense, cannot earn anything and give you and support himself, but you are given rosy because of his barakat. And how many of businessmen have experienced this when they have the old person in the business and they take him away, feeling to be an obstruction? And what happens? We find that business that was flourishing goes down. Why? Thereafter they employ all other worldly means, consultants are called, all new strategies are planned out, etc., and all the marketing experts come in, etc., but the business does not want to pick up. Why? Because the reason or the man for which you should get the barakat in their business is taken out. It's sidestepped, it's taken out of the equation, and the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was the reason for you to get barakat in your business. So one is how we see things, and one is how it is explained to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So a person's most valuable assets are his parents. The most valuable assets a person can have in the dunya are his parents, because these are irreplaceable. Everything else can be replaceable. A person can get another wife, he can get other children. I'm not saying to neglect your wife, but parents as such, these are irreplaceable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given man an opportunity in this world to enter into paradise or gain his paradise by serving them. One person had put it so nicely, he said, every person Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him two saints. Has given him two saints through which he can be salvated, and through which he can be elevated, his status can be elevated. One is his mother and one is his father. Doesn't have to go too far to serve anyone, they are right there. One person wants to go in jihad, and Rasulullah sallam asked him if his parents are living. He said, yes. He said, فَفِيهِمَا فَجَاهِدْ. Go and make jihad there with your parents. In other words, serve them and look after them. So this was the last part of the hadith wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said ameen to that bad-dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we take good We make good of this opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and we become the means of our forgiveness, the month of Ramadan. And also when we hear the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we take the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with durood and salam, with love and with affection, and appreciating and pondering and reflecting upon the great favors of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon this ummah, and to look after our aged parents. Together with that, as we know, Ramadan is progressing, and we had mentioned initially it goes very, very fast. We are now here looking at not very many days left in the month of Ramadan. Real foresight is not to look after Ramadan and to look for the Eid and happens what will happen in the Eid, but when the Ramadan progresses, then the real zenith or the peak of Ramadan is Laylatul Qadr and the last 10 days of Ramadan. This is the real peak of Ramadan, which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned in the hadith first, that it is such a month that it has one night that is more valuable than 1,000 nights. So when the Ramadan comes towards here, the second Ashura, the second 10 days completing, then obviously our vision should be fixed up upon the last 10 days. And it is in this last 10 days that the Laylatul Qadr is granted. The Laylatul Qadr is the speciality of this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we are blessed with so many specialities as being the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the barakat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to appreciate these specialities, not given to any ummah before us, only given to this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the night of Qadr. And the reasons vary. Some say because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was saddened when he had pondered over the long lifespan of the previous ummahs, and he used to think that my ummah will not be able to beat them or emulate them or follow them. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of this sadness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored the ummah with this Mubarak night. Some say Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned the incidents of the people of the past, a person that had made jihad in the Bani Israel for 1,000 months. The Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullah Alim Ajma'in was Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullah Ajma'in were full of regret. They could not emulate this person. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them this ayats were revealed. And some say Rasulullah has mentioned the pious people of the past, how they had worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 80 years. And here the Sahaba were astonished and surprised. Upon this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the surah, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatul qadr, wa ma adraka ma laylatul qadr, an entire surah, so that we can appreciate and value this Mubarak night. The khulasa and the essence of the surah is this, that we have sent down the Holy Quran in the night of Qadr, in the night of power. This in itself is sufficient to show the value of this night. Such a great book that will withstand all the challenges of time, that will remain, was there from the beginning, will remain till the ending. That book that changed the destinies of millions of people, that book that millions of people will by heart, that book will send a guide in every age, in every era, in every time, in every period. That age, that book that will be guiding people toward righteousness, toward the path of piety, that book, what night, when what period was chosen for that book, it was this Mubarak night of Qadr. It is mentioned from the Lawi Mahfuz, it was revealed to the skies of the dunya. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by way of arousing the curiosity within us, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ, what do you know, what will inform you, what is this night of power? Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that it is more virtuous than 1,000 months. Better than 1,000 months, which is equivalent to 83 years and 4 months. Can we imagine the fazl, the mercy, the rahmat, and the magnitude of the graciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one single night more valuable than 83 years and 4 months? We cannot imagine. You cannot get an example like this in the world where there is so much virtue of one single night where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies it so many times. We can sit and work out how many alf shahr, 1,000 months, not 1,000 nights, but 1,000 months. And if 1 month is 30 days, then 30,000 nights. More valuable than 30,000 nights, just one single night. Meaning the person who engages himself in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spends this night in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him a reward more than worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 83 years. And if a person does that for 10 years, then more than 830 years. This is how valuable this night is. Further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the happening of the night, that even the angels come down and they make dua. In some riwayats they mention they go and shake hands with those people that were engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this Mubarak night. And they go around into homes, into any way those people are worshipping Allah, whether it's in the masjid, whether it's in the home, whether a person is in travel, etc. They go there and they make dua in some riwayats. In some riwayats mentioned, they go and shake hands with those people that are busy engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the hadith we understand that a person who stands on this night of power, the night of Qadr, imanan wahtisaban, believing in Allah and having firm intention of getting reward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives that person's sins. Some ulama mentioned what is meant here is the minor sins, but obviously a person who stands on that night, some mashayikh mentioned that obviously he will grieve for his sins, and grieving and being sorrowed and having sorrow for sins, that in itself is asking for repentance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in lieu of this grieving and repentance over his sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all his sins. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cautions us that man haram la yahrumu khayruha illa mahrum, man haruma haruma al khayru kullah. Whoever is deprived of this night, he's deprived of all good. Who's deprived of this night, he's deprived of all good. وَلَا يَحْرُمُ خَيْرَهَا إِلَّا مَحْرُومٌ. There's only a person that is completely unfortunate that is deprived of this night. So if you cannot spend this entire night, and where will you find this night? On one occasion is mentioned, on which part of Ramadan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions one hadith that he had come out to inform the people of Laylatul Qadr, and they were arguing. There was an argument that ensued between two Sahaba, and this knowledge was taken away. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that look for this night. Some riwayats is mentioned in the odd nights, that is the 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, 29th. Some riwayats is mentioned on the 29th, on the 27th, on the 25th. Look for Laylatul Qadr in the odd nights. Look for them in the odd nights. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows in His wisdom why the exact date was taken away. But here we are encouraged to look for these nights in these odd nights. If you cannot spend all the odd nights completely, fully in ibadat of Allah, the least a person can do is abstain from sinning. When on one side Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercies and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's special rahmat descends on this most virtuous night of the entire year, how can a person be there standing and sinning? Sinning before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the least a person does is to abstain from sin, all forms of sin, and read his salat in the masjid, the Raweeh salat, in the Fajr salat. Inshallah, it is hope that a person will get the entire reward of the worshipping Allah for the entire night. But this is obviously the least. It is not the least that we go for. Let us ask ourselves, when it comes to my car, when it comes to my business, when it comes to my clothing, when it comes to my whole house, do I go for the least? Do I say, kam mas kam mere paas ye hai? Or do I go for the ultimate? And I go for that which nobody has. We go for the best when it comes to the dunya. Why not for the deen? When it comes to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why not sacrifice the entire night or most of the night in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not knowing whether we will get this night again? How many are there that left us before Ramadan? How many are there leaving us in the month of Ramadan? So this is the golden opportunity. And the best way to take advantage of this opportunity is to sit in the heart of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for itikaf. A person who sits in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for itikaf, he will be definitely rewarded for worshipping Allah in the night of Laylatul Qadr. In the night of Qadr, he will definitely get the reward. Because the person who is in itikaf, he saves himself from sin, and he gets the reward of good deeds without even doing those good deeds, because he's sitting in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if he's sleeping in the house of Allah, he's being rewarded. He's like sitting in the house by the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercies. So the person that definitely won't be deprived of Laylatul Qadr is the person that spends itikaf. Not only will he get the reward of Laylatul Qadr, some riwayats we understand a person who sits for itikaf for 10 days in the month of Ramadan, he gets the reward of 2 hajj and 2 umrah. He gets the reward of 2 hajj and 2 umrah. Some riwayats we understand a person that spends one day in itikaf, then days between him and the fire of Jahannam, 3 trenches. And one trench, the distance, the width of one trench, not the length, the width of one trench is like between the earth and the sky. In other words, 30 trenches between him and the fire of Jahannam. Here, those of us that have the means, that have the strength, that have the time, should take out some time, who have the strength and the help, to come into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and spend the days in itikaf. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have this great reward for us, inshallah, that we'll get the full reward of Laylatul Qadr, together with that reward of 2 hajj and 2 umrah. And together with that, there will be trenches between us and the fire of Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.